Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Yo, peace, 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 y'all. What's going on? It's Collective Minds Radio. We back in the building. I'm your host, Brother Kev, here with my lovely co-host, Rigel Starr, and my brother, Mufasa Ra. What's up, y'all?
Hey, hold up, hold up. Through the land.
Peace, what's going on? Y'all good? Everybody good? How the week been going?
Can I play right there? Hey, y'all. Everything been going good my way, y'all, you know. I've been resting all this weekend, you know, getting ready for to go to the house in the morning. But other than that, I'm straight.
Indeed, indeed. All right, and we should have a great show for y'all today. But before we get started, y'all got any announcements y'all need to make?
No, I don't.
You know, and I had an announcement. For some reason, it jumped right out of my head. And it's probably going to come back to me. But right now, I guess I'm a hold tight too. You know, I'm a hold tight.
I wouldn't mind quickly though touching base. It's not really an announcement, but just kind of touching base on that incident that happened over the weekend. Actually, a few of them with the Starbucks situation. I kind of been hearing a little bit about that. I don't know all the details about it, but I was wondering if you guys knew of it. The two black guys that were arrested in Starbucks, as well as just trying to hear more information about this this airstrike attack as well that I think was done on Friday or Saturday.
Right, right, indeed, yeah. So as far as the airstrike, I know that, you know, I guess the United States and Britain and France had went on ahead and attacked Syria, based on, you know, them saying that they, you know, gas people with chemical weapons and so on and so forth. But Russia is actually claiming that it's a false flag, you know, and it didn't really happen. They're saying that they faked the whole thing. So, you know, there's a lot going on in international politics as far as that go, because basically it's like the U.S. is in a war in Syria, you know what I'm saying, basically a proxy war with Russia and Syria. So, yeah, that's kind of what's going on that front. So I would definitely keep an eye on that, you know what I mean, because I did see a speech that Farrakhan gave this week, I believe, on the 13th, which was Friday, and he was in the Caribbean, I believe, in St. Kitts, and he gave an interview, and he basically saying, you know, when World War III started, you could say goodbye to, you know, the Western powers and the United States as we know it, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you could take it or leave it. But he like, when the third world started, that's the beginning of a new world, you feel me, and the end of this old world, per se. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I can say that.
Go ahead, Roger.
I was just concurring. I can easily foresee that, you know. It's not too far away from the grasp of my imagination to actually foresee that, the old going and the new, you know. It's just the energy. The energy is just different, you know. I can easily foresee that.
Right.
Yeah. I did want to bring the stuff I was made aware of. I need to do some more investigating on it, but on the East Coast, we had a young man who was. A white guy shot at him because he rung on his doorbell, asked for directions. Did y'all hear about that?
Luckily,
the young black boy was just trying to get some directions to make it to his school, and the dude just came out shooting with a shotgun. So luckily he missed him, but that's one we need to do some more investigating on. And also, a young lady out that way, a young black lady, was found decapitated, you know, and dismembered out there too. So I heard this stuff earlier today, so there's some more things we need to look into. Maybe we can update each other on later on the next week's show.
Indeed, indeed. And that's the perfect segue into our guest. You know, we're talking about Black Power. So, you know, based on the stories we're hearing, you know, it seems like it's a lot of racial events, you know, a lot of typical of us being targeted, you know, by people, by civilians, by police. So when we talk about Black Power, which I believe was coined in the 1960s, and out of that movement, we had a lot of black intellectuals, a lot of scholars, a lot of freedom fighters in the pursuit of black liberation. And that was also the decade the original Black Panther Party started. So we have our guest today. We have the National Deputy Chief of Staff for the new Black Panther Party for Defense, my brother Keith Muhammad. How you doing, Keith Muhammad? Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Black Power. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power to all the people that's online right now, to all that's listening. I'm here, brother. Black Power.
Indeed, Black Power, Lake of Salam. Yeah, so I'm Brother Kev. You've been corresponding with my brother Mufasa Ra. We got Rigel Starr also co-host. But I guess before we get started, we just want to give you the opportunity to just tell us who you are. You know, tell us a little about yourself that you think would be important as we build on this topic here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. First of all, all praise is due to Allah and all the ancestors we say Ashe to, such as Noble Drew Ali, Miss Louis Farrakhan, Marx Messiah Garvey, Huey P. Newton, and the ones that are still fighting right along with Minister Farrakhan, Minister Hashim Nzinga, our national chairman, and our attorney, Emeritus Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz. It is an honor to come on your show. I am a brother that's been in the struggle for quite a long time, a former FOI with the Nation of Islam of Muhammad Maz 28B of East St. Louis, and have been with the ranks of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense now for about 4.5 years, 5 hidden now. I've been on frontline battles from Ferguson to Cleveland, Ohio, down to Lexington, Kentucky, and still in the front lines today fighting. As I be heading to Washington, D.C. for the 10,000 Black Men's Movement in front of the White House. Man, I tell you, it's a lot going on out here, and people like myself and like-minded individuals are putting themselves on the line daily with this cracker trying to shut us down in many ways. And it's important that myself and other like-minded individuals and freedom fighters come together to deal with this devil, because this devil time is up. His time in America is up. His time around the world is up. That's why you got South Africa kicking the white man out. And America has to do the same thing. This has to be collective. That's why the Black Power Movement is important once again in 2018. We got to do things together and unite out of love to get rid of this devil, because we're still unsatisfied. What they're still doing is insufficient and wrong. We still have no justice, and we still have no equality.
Indeed, indeed. Well, again, Ashe, we thank you again for joining us and spending some time with us this evening as well. We appreciate it. And can you now, I see that y'all got a march going on Saturday, April 21st. So can you kind of give us an idea of what's going on with the march and what do you guys hope to accomplish with this Condemn Trump march?
Well, 2016, we went at the RNC against Trump, and we back in his head again. For 2018, which is April 18th through the 22nd, we'll have the Black Men's Movement in Washington D.C., where Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and other, once again, like-minded individuals like Cornel West and Dr. Smalls will be there. Dr. Leonard Jeffries, the Black Economics, Boyce Watkins, right. Dr. Boyce Watkins. Yeah, and much freedom fighters or more. And also we have the Black Panther Summit. Man, we go out here in front of the White House to let Trump know it's time that you move on. It's time that you stop. We're no longer going to bow down. We're no longer going to rest. We're no longer going to put up our hands and tell you don't shoot. We're no longer going to settle for your white law. You know what I'm saying? Like Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad said, we have to crush white law to establish black law. And what better place to take this is right in front of the White House to the president himself. You understand me? We got to stop. We got to stop being so afraid. We got to stop. We got to stop standing still and move forward like an iron sword. So what better movement? What better strength than to have 10,000 black men, 10,000 black men with freedom fighters side by side, letting this man know, letting this devil know, this open enemy know that their time is up and what they're doing will stop.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I want to ask you now, because I was looking at the flyer, and you have it's what's called it's a National Black Men's Convention. And now this starts on the 18th. The march is on the 21st, which is a Saturday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, do you know exactly what will be going on the other days?
You have particular people such. I don't have the paper in front of me, but what I do know, there'll be workshops and speakers touching on various subjects such as economics, black men, and also how to build a blanket, whether you know as far as a black army, black doctors, health. Focusing on everything that the black man needs and woman needs and child needs to build a black nation, to build a black mm-hmm. nation. We'll be hitting on every point. There'll be workshops for every point made at this movement or convention.
Yeah, I just pulled the flyer, brother. I'm going to read it off for everyone. Day one, Wednesday the 18th, it says a public debate on the definition of black manhood. Day two, Thursday the 19th, will be a financial and economic summit. Day three, which is the 20th, War Against the Black Man Summit. Day four, the 21st, that's the 10,000-man Black Man's March on the White House. And day five will be Reparations and Healing Summit. So this is a big event.
Yes, sir. Very big,
sir. Washington, D.C. On the flyer, it also says, you can look at the www.blackmenconvention.org if anybody wants more information on that. That's www.blackmensconvention.org.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Indeed.
That's correct.
All right.
That's correct,
so,
man.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
No, I mean, it's correct, man. You know, like I say, you know, it's been far too long, man, you know. It's time for you know, this is the resistance, man. It's time that we do more than just talk. We gotta quit being afraid, man. You know, when you look at the situation, even in St. Louis, man, people dying and get shot down every day. You know, the basis of all this crap come from politics. Messed up politics, man, and people not knowing who they are, which way they're going. And we have to put a stronghold back on our people. You know, we got to get our people, we got to wake our people up, because the problem is not with the white man. I mean, they're the political problem. They got a few issues, but the struggle is with ourselves. And we got to get ourselves in order, man, to move forward and defeat this man with love and unity, man. That's what we're focusing on, man, love and unity and how to deal with the enemy, man, because the enemy of over 450-something years has had a program that has messed us totally and completely up to the point to where we don't even respect the black woman no more, and that's part of the problem, too. That's why we continue to fail. So
indeed.
We continue to fail because we don't respect the black woman no more. So once we rise up, realize who we are, have knowledge of self, of who we are, and then become aware of what's going on around us, and then we want self-determination to be free, then we'll rise up as a whole. I mean, you just can't do it in America. You got to do it in Africa. You got to do it in Asia. You got to do it in Europe. This has to be collective. Black power is collective. It's Pan-African. It's collective. It has to happen collectively. You
That's
understand
right.
what I'm saying? It has to happen collectively. It can't be...
We got a flag, and that's what we supposed to be repping.
That's right. Pull down the red, white, and blue, put the red, black, and green. It's important that we do this. It's important that we stop supporting them, that we support ourselves, man. We have to find avenues to when we say stop doing this and stop doing that so they can come do, like, if you say we want you to boycott this, well, I'm going to go and shop for my goods. There's a lot of things that we have to build before we say stop. And because a lot of people don't have the education to grow food or to build homes or know how to spend money to buy things that can keep them sufficient instead of being having to go back to the white man and begging for more and more. We're not racist. We're not biased. We're not prejudiced. We just want what we want. And it's about time we get what we want. And what
That's
do we
right.
want? Fair housing. What we want? Good jobs. Better education. But we have to teach ourselves and do for self. Most honorable Elijah Muhammad said that, do for self and pool all resources. The problem is we keep starting all over again instead of starting where they left off from.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad you brought up that name, Elijah Muhammad, because I did want to walk back a little bit to your beginnings and ask you a few questions just, you know, so the callers and everybody listening can, you know, get an idea of your background. I heard you say that you were a former FOI. What was it, brother, that brought you into the Nation? How long ago was that? And what made you join up with the Nation of Islam?
Man, about 20 years ago, maybe longer than that. My father, I went to Arizona, Casa Grande, Arizona, there with my father. They was fighting to bring the Dr. Martin Luther King birthday holiday there. And my father said, "Someone take you somewhere." My father took me to the Sun Dome to hear Farrakhan speak. And when I heard him speak, my father said, "Son, I would love to be a part of that one day." Well, my father was a pastor at the time. He said, "If I wasn't a pastor, I would definitely be with the Nation of Islam." So years would go by, and I meet this brother named Paul Muhammad in East St. Louis, a young brother I grew up with, that we go do some time and come home and start talking about Elijah Muhammad this and Elijah Muhammad that. And he gave me a few books. And the first book that he ever gave me was Message to the Black Man. Then he gave me The Fall of America. And I studied those books, and I read those books, man. I understood what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about and what he stood on. I said, you know what? This is what black people are really missing around the world. Like, we need this. We need to understand this, man. You know, if we can't, first of all, we got to get the mindset of you know, what messes black people up with the Nation, and what the Nation knows and what they're talking about and what they do is the word religion. If we can take the religion away and understand the teachings that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was ahead of the game then and still now, because people are still not understanding what he said. It's like steak to a lot of people. And accept what he said, man, we can move forward. And by me accepting the teachings of the Nation of Islam, I became more passionate and compassionate for my people and what we need, what we should do, how we should build, from being a strong black man, loving my black woman, to understand that I'm not a nigga, I'm a God. And no longer I can stand for bull crap or what's going around me, and I can change what's around me if I have these few principles. And that's why I joined the Nation of Islam, because I love the way those black men were and those black women was, and I love the teachings wholeheartedly.
That's true. That's true. You know, a lot of people, I feel, our people sleep on Elijah Muhammad, on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his plan. When you compare that plan and, you know, everything that it stands on to all the other plans that we've tried to do, Elijah Muhammad's plan is something that worked. And not only did it have a plan for our economic growth, our spiritual growth, like I said, economic growth, and it cleans us as men and women. It shows black men how to live their life. It shows women how to live their life. You know what I'm saying? So
yes, sir.
People, I feel like they sleep on Elijah Muhammad and that program. And with that being said, do you feel like, you know, the way Louis Farrakhan has, you know, changed things up a little bit, do you feel like it's a little bit off from Elijah's original plan, or you think it's still right and exact?
Like I said before, man, you have to teach. It's about timing and time. It's like I said before. It's like you can't give people steak. Y'all give them the milk. Just like the most honorable Elijah Muhammad did. You have to feed them milk first. Most honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "My best soldiers are still in the streets." You know what I'm saying? My best soldiers. You know what I'm saying? And we're in a time to where things change. Even when you read the Holy Quran, and Prophet Muhammad said, if Jesus was here, he would follow me. You know what I'm saying? This is the time. Farrakhan is the leader of the Nation of Islam. I don't think he went off the way at all. I just think that he's feeding the people milk. He's giving them understanding what's going on around. I don't think he deviated from no way at all. He's just giving them milk. Because at one time, I thought that way. Like, man, he's going off. But then I thought about getting, no, he's not. Because you got to change something. You got to modernize as you go. Because people are changing. People think different. People act different. People speak different. You know what I'm saying? So he's still feeding them. He's still feeding them the teachings, but to a point to where they can understand it. And the more they understand it, the better he will get them. He'll go from milk to vegetables to steak, whatever. He's going to feed them what he needs to feed them.
I heard that, brother. One other thing, I don't know if my co-host had a question as well, but before we move on from the Nation of Islam questions, can you let us know what does it take, if you can? I mean, if you can't go into it, that's fine as well. But
yes,
what's the difference between someone who just comes to the mosque and, you know, listen in and join, and they go by the principles? What's the difference between someone that does that and someone who's an FOI member? What does it take to be an FOI member?
Oh, man. First of all, you got to write your letter. You know what I'm saying? You got to write your letter first. Your letter got to be accepted. And then you got to learn the actual facts. You got to recite the actual facts. You know what I'm saying? Who's the original black man and all that stuff. You got to know that. You got to be a soldier. You got to get out there and soldier. You got to get there and spread the message, the newspaper. You got to be firm. You got to walk the walk, talk the talk. You got to do all of that, brother. You got to all that. Become an FOI. You know, it's a difference just being a member and an FOI. An FOI puts the work in. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it's a lot of learning. It's a lot of learning and understanding. You can go to the mosque all day, pray five times a day, but it's a difference between Orthodox and the Nation of Islam. It's very different. You know what I'm saying? But becoming an FOI, you got to understand the rules and regulations. You got to understand the actual facts of who you are. That's why they teach you knowledge itself first. Knowledge itself comes first. We don't believe in a spook God. We don't accept that. You know what I'm saying? We don't accept that. I can't live by that. You know what I'm saying? I got to live in the now, what's going around me now. I got to raise my people up. And Minister Farrakhan was said that the FOI is the medicine to the people. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm still blinded by falsehood, if I'm still blinded by certain religious politics, then I cannot be an FOI or MGT. You know what I'm saying? I got to be a God to the people. And the people got to look to me as a God, as I push the wisdom and knowledge of the God. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Indeed.
Brother Kelly, can I have a question before we go into Black Panthers?
Oh, yeah. I want to let the callers know, if you're just joining us, this is Collective Minds Radio. We have Keith Muhammad, the National Deputy Chief of Staff for the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. He's joining us. We're building. You know, give us a call if you're listening. The number's 929-477-1697. Roger Starr, did you have any questions?
No, I don't have any right now. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Muhammad. But I don't have any questions at this time. I'm just listening.
Okay. Indeed.
So
now,
Hey, Brother Keith.
Oh, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if y'all didn't have any about the Nation, I was going to ask Brother Muhammad to let us know what took him in from FOI, what made him switch directions a little bit and go into the new Black Panther Party for self-defense.
Well, yes, sir. Well, you know, we all born Panthers, you know, I was listening to a lecture that the minister was giving. And he said, quit worrying about being ministers in the land and becoming governors in the land. And I knew that I had a bigger calling somewhere. And I received a call from a brother by the name of Bobby Price. He's our National Minister of Defense. And I was talking to him about, we was talking to about the Black Panther Party. He asked me if I knew about the new Black Panther Party. I said, no, I don't, but I know about, the old Panther Party. And he was explaining to me about it. I said, you get down with it. See, I want to learn more about it. I joined. I ended up joining in 2014, late 2013, early 2014. We say once an FYI, always an FYI. But, I want to get back. I want to get in the trenches with my people, put the boots on, be combat ready, to deal with the oppression of for our people, man. We can't always be suit and ties dealing with these people, man. We gotta be boots on the ground all the time, get a lot of work done, from feeding people, dealing with the police, justice, injustice, whatever you want to call it. This is what we're dealing with. So I chose the new Black Panther Party because I felt that was my calling. Calling is that, and being close to people that's fighting daily, especially working side by side, opportunity to work side by side with men that have worked and was under the tutelage of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, such as our National Chairman Hashim Nzinga, and the Emeritus Chairman Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. It's an honor, man, to sit and be with them and study under them and learn from them, and then do the work and carry out the orders what they're doing, because they're actually out here in the field, man, and across the ocean with 150 coalitions in Africa working. New Black Panther Party is not just a national organization, it's international. So we are all around the world, man, fighting, man, for freedom, justice, and equality, or either freedom or death. And that's where we stand. So I find my home with the New Black Panther Party, but with the mindset and the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's just what it is. Because if it wasn't for the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, we wouldn't have had a Malcolm. We wouldn't have had a Stokely Carmichael or a Huey P. Newton or Attorney Shabazz or Dr. Khalid or Hashim Nzinga. Okay, that is where we come from. That is the bloodline of revolutionary.
Yes, sir, and that's 100%. Go ahead, brother.
No, I'll just say that's a strong foundation right there, brother.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. We talk about all the time how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the birth of what we call Black consciousness today. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
sir.
If it wasn't for his teachings, Noble Drew Ali, Garvey, Fahad Muhammad, these people laid down the foundation of what we call being woke today. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
People being conscious today. That is the foundation of Black consciousness. We needed that to lift us up. So I wanted to ask you, brother, because it seems like, we've been going through periods. If we go back to the times of Elijah Muhammad and, Noble Drew Ali, when they was teaching, there was a rise in Black consciousness. And we went in through like the 50s and 60s. Then we had the Black Power Movement, which birthed the original Black Panther Party. And it seems like, when I watch the old videos and read the information, it seems like people were waking up. We was trying to do for self. We was on the right track, but I point to two events, Martin Luther King getting killed and Malcolm X getting killed. Like, I think those two events either put fear in us and put us to sleep, because by the 70s and 80s and 90s, it's like we started to regress and go backward. You see what I'm saying? It was like the Elijah say, God created man and a white man created the nigger. So it seemed like
the
70s, 80s, and 90s, we were just falling into a deep state. We fell into the traps of gang banging, selling drugs to each other, disrespecting the women. You know what I'm saying? We just went through a period where we kind of lost that consciousness that the forefathers had set down for us. But now, moving forward to 2018, or it actually started, I would say, around 2010 on up to now, where people are starting to wake up more. You see what I'm saying? There's a consciousness that's sweeping. So I want to ask you, what do you think is going to be the difference this time that us waking up as opposed to the enemy coming with another trap and putting us back to sleep? You see,
yes, sir.
I don't know if
yes,
I phrased
sir.
It right, but yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand, but I understand what you're saying, though. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Malcolm X said the ballot of the bullet. Dr. Collins said the bullet or the bullet. Today is who sank my battleship. It's time to start sinking the battleship. Okay, we can no longer see when the sister brought home Emmett Till from Mississippi to Chicago to an open face to an open casket. That should have been a change there. When Malcolm
right.
X was assassinated at the Auburn Ballroom, that should have
yes.
been a change there. When they
yes,
killed
sir.
Dr. King and they openly said that they assassinated Dr. King, that should have been a change there. A man that was trying to integrate instead
Indeed.
Of separate, and it should have been a change there. See, the thing is, this time around, you have a different breed. You have a different breed.
Uh-huh.
And this time
mm-hmm.
around, nobody's going to sit down no more. The difference between
right.
us, between the old Panthers and the new Panthers, is separation. You know what I'm saying? We're not integrating with nobody. Not even a white man or oppressive nigga. We're not dealing with nobody. You know what I'm saying? Either you're going to give it or we're going to take it. See, that's what we need to do. It's time to take it. Brother, we built this country. We
Fact.
Built this country. And we was here before they even came to this country. So how in the hell we going to sit here and keep allowing this damn devil to come here in this country and continue to take, beat, kill. They killing our babies and taking out their organs. They beating our women. They beating our men. Ain't shit new with this camera. We look with the police having a camera on their chest. They was taking
mm-hmm.
pictures and with people hanging with their kids waving, calling a pick-a-nick or a pick-a-nick. What's changed?
Right.
We got to change. Umar Johnson said it best. When the white man came to Africa, he said domination first and then human life. We always want to embrace somebody. We got to stop embracing, think of self first, and dominate our land, man. We have to quit allowing these people, these crackers, to do what they're doing to us, man. It makes no sense.
Correct.
That they're so disrespectful.
Yeah.
Every time they get off these court rulings, we need to take it to them. We need to take it to them. If somebody, if police beat somebody, get off of, we can go to his front yard. We can go to his community. We can go with his front door. You know what I'm saying? We need to get stronger instead of weaker. Our men need to get some balls and get stronger
Fact.
And start dealing with this cracker the way that he should be dealt with. We don't do that no more, man. Every time they take a lead away from us, we get weak. We stop getting
right.
weak and get stronger and stronger, get some guidance to our children. Because, see, they're taking our warriors away and locking them up forever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's going to put it, it's going to put it back in the hands of our women again. You know what I'm saying? So we have to take a turn. We have to take a turn. Brother, we can't be afraid to die. We sure as hell can't be afraid to kill. This is real talk. This is real talk.
Yes, sir.
This is real talk.
Yes, sir.
It's real talk. So if we're going to deal with this devil, we got to deal with it his way. Like what Carla said before, Fred Henderson said, sometimes you got to fight fire with water.
With
you got to fight fire
yes,
with
sir.
Water. You know what I'm
yes,
saying?
Sir.
We can't continue to fight fire with fire. We got to fight fire with water. We know what we're dealing with. We know how the lengths
mm-hmm.
he'll go. We know that his 6,000 years is up. We know that what he's capable of doing, he's biochemical warfare, pharmaceutical warfare, entertainment
right.
warfare, occupational
right.
warfare. We know what they're doing to us, so we got to stop
mm-hmm.
this bastard. And if we don't stop
yes,
him,
sir.
We lose. And how do we stop him? We need to kill white law and establish black law. How do we kill white law? By starting in the house, walk through the community, and go to the politics with it. We gotta destroy this thing, man. We have to destroy this
yes.
machine. And have to start
yes,
in the
sir.
House and work through. We have to work this plan, man. And we can't be so bullheaded and so uppity and bourgeois niggas that's calling ourselves conscious. We got to stop that, too, and work together wholeheartedly.
Yes,
how
sir.
You even say you're of the people and you're not acting like that? That's why Mr. Farrakhan say, speak the language of the people. So as soon as those brothers get conscious, we start speaking these eloquent, over-the-above words, man. You got to keep it real
yes,
so the
sir.
People can understand you, brother. The white
yes.
man, the white man... The white man, the white woman, and the lost nigga is going to continue to do what they're doing until we start making examples of what needs to be done to them when they stopped the movement. When Nat Turner was when he rebelled, some nigga went and told. When then walked Vessi, rebelled, some nigga went back and told. We got to stop that, man. We got to stop that. Harriet Tubman said that, man, she never, nobody, mean, I want to go back. Oh, I will shoot you dead. We got to protect ourselves. We got to protect our, we got to protect our movement. We got to protect our people, man, at all costs. This is important, man. We got to quit saying hands up, don't shoot. We got to quit filming the police beat somebody. Man,
right.
Go back and read the Constitution, man. Arm yourself, bear arms. They trying. That's why they're trying to take the guns away. If we understand the laws of this land, we can defeat the laws of this land. We can defeat the open enemy in this land. Man, look what happened. Look what happened to America when they want to break from great when they broke from Britain. Look what they did when they broke from the British. They went to war. They armed themselves and went to war from a tyrant
right.
country. And that's in our Constitution. We are up on a tyrant country.
Yeah, they
this
did it with
fact.
Biden.
This is fact.
You know, brother,
yeah.
We're gonna check and see if somebody wanna make a comment or ask a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, we'll take caller from area code 816-433. Caller, you have a comment or a question? Caller, are you there? Area code 816-433. Caller, you have a comment or a question?
Black Power, I have no comment or no question. Everything sounds pretty on par, on point. These brothers got very valid points, and I feel very much the same. So Black Power, brother, continue on.
Black Power, sir.
Appreciate you calling. Keep tuning in.
Peace. All right, so yeah, just joining us, we're here with Keith Muhammad from the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and we just here building on Black Power, and also we, you know, want to offer some solutions to the people as well. Now, I know you say you be on the ground, Mr. Muhammad, and what type of reception, because like I say, a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with is mental. You know, it seems like a lot of these institutions and systems that have been set up is all about deception, you see, and they got us out of our mind chasing something that they've set in front of us that we'd never get under their system. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is the reception of the people? Because I know it's a tough job, you know, when you're out in the community, you're trying to wake up folks, you're trying to offer solutions. But there's always other forces, you know, that that come into play. So what do you think the reception of the people as you get out and talk to them? Are they receiving the information, or are they kind of rejecting it? What you think?
Well, I have a thing. You know. Let me say this first before I go say that. My national chairman Hashim Nzinga, and the national chief of staff. Imam Akbar, they have a platform called Black Power Radio that comes on Monday nights that definitely hits the people, platform hits the people. Also, myself, I do a platform called The Real is Black. It's a little Facebook Live show I do every Wednesday, hitting real topics. When I deal with the people out here, man, I get accepted well because I'm of the people. You know what I'm saying? I deal with the people daily from the street tribes to the drug dealer, the hustler, or either the homeless man or the homeless woman. You know what I'm saying? And when I come to them, I offer them something. I just don't come with talk, man. You know, I come with something to give. Just like right now, I have events planned after D.C. that's going to happen on certain dates, the July, May, August, and continuously of black ingenuity, black education, black economics, black health, and have people come in to give these classes and seminars to wake our people up to build business and buy land, investment group in Springfield to show not only talk to my people but help my people, give them something so they can even start their own business. And this is what I do. I'm not just talk, I'm showing. And I have people around me that have allied with me to help me show such groups like Keep It 200 and 25th Dynasty Conglomerate, which is an up-and-coming young organization that's strong right now. And we've allied together to make a lot of moves, to do a lot of things. We have a lot of things dated to where people from the streets can come in and learn and take skills home and get involved to help build a better community and a home for them. You know what I'm saying? Even with the library weekly, going to the library, speaking with the people and waking the people up. This is a constant job, man. You just can't give nobody no good word and then tell them to go about their business. You got to show them, you got to feed them, you got to show them, and you got to sit them off. And this is what we're doing, man. We're feeding people off. We're feeding people. We're working collectively. We're dealing with them day to day. I mean, my phone rings all day long for people wanting Brother Keith, man. How can I do this, Brother Keith? Can you come work with me, Brother Keith? What do you think about this? You know, so I'm one of those brothers, man, that not only says that he's a Panther, but actually does the work of a Vanguard. I get out there with the people. I get dirty with the people. I get entrenched with the people, and the people are very receptive. Even with my children. My children are entrepreneurs. They work. They sell oils and incense, and they're well respected in the community. So it's a lot that I do to not only show the community what black power is or black love is, but I definitely show them that I'm no different than you, and they love, they enjoy, you know, dealing with me and working with me.
Indeed.
Yeah, one thing I'll say, I've had an opportunity to check Brother Keith's show on Facebook, and he definitely, the brother goes in and definitely lay out the law how it is and how we need to build ourselves up as a people. You know, so I've been watching this brother for time, and I finally had a chance to reach out to him. So I really am glad to have you on the show, brother. And I hope we can do some work, build with each other, you know, down the road from here. Because I do appreciate your spirit, brother, and I like what you got going on to help our community.
Well, you know something, I have something going on May 19th. It's called the Relevance of Melanin. May 19th, Malcolm X birthday in East St. Louis at 618 Studios. I'll be keynote speaker. And man, I would love for you guys to come down and speak and get involved in it. As black ingenuity, we want to bring all the black businesses back, man, and start supporting each other. Like I said before, we talk about boycotting. But if we boycott, like I said, what's going to replace that? How are we going to do that? It's going to lead us back to going to the white man. If we're spending $1 trillion a year with the white folks and building up white supremacy, what you think we can do with those $1 trillion if we invest in black businesses? But we all support them. But we also got to understand that the black business owner got to know what to do when he gets that business. Okay? He can't be selfish with that business. He has to put back, or she has to put back in the community to grow. Then we ease away from supporting the white man, but we know that undoubtedly that the white man is the devil, and he will do just like he did in Tulsa. So we got to do things smart. We got to get involved smart. We got to educate our people more smarter. So when we say, yo, we're boycotting this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we got to have resources for them. Instead of sending them back to Walmart or Kmart or Target. We got to change the way we do things, man. We got to change that way we do things.
That's true. Hey, to the listeners that's on the line, we are going to be taking calls. So we appreciate y'all tuning in with us and checking out Collective Mind Radio. Actually, Sister Rigel, if you can take a call now, let's see if we got anybody that want to make a comment or ask a question.
Okay, we'll take caller 314-616. Caller, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Yes. What's up,
buddy? Hey, how's it going, everybody? Now, the topic that's on the tape is liberation. Is that correct?
Yeah, liberation and basically what is black power? What are we going over the power as a whole?
Man, I had so many key points, it was kind of hard for me to take mental notes. I know somebody was speaking earlier, you know, about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Garvey and the likes. I think the thing with black power is I almost don't see an insurrection in black power here in the States anymore because we have fallen so in love with the white man. And when I'm looking at what's going on in Africa, I'm loving it.
Yes,
you know what I'm talking about? South Africa. I see Ethiopia is writing letters to the British saying that they want their shit back, you know, and that they're stopping the adoption process, you know, because they understand that their kids are being mistreated. So we have all these things, and what bothers me the most is that the black man here in America holds the key to liberation worldwide. But we have bought into this illusion of progress and success, and we want to be next to this person, take the trip to Miami, you know. So I think that the key to liberation is going to be organization. And
black power, that's truth, yep.
The thing that I see that's preventing the organization is I'm 100% believing that we have agents that are in the conscious community keeping us divided. Because
right.
If you look at what's been going on in the past couple of years particularly, we see these people that have the wisdom, the finances, or, you know, education, whatever it may be, they're at odds. They're at each other's throats. You know, even with young Pharaoh, who we had on about a month ago, you know, at odds with the Nation of Islam. So if we can't get past these petty differences, and I want to be the head nigger in charge, this, that, and the other, it's going to be hard to engineer our black power. Because when we look back to what they had in the 60s, you know, they didn't have the drugs. They, you know, there were so many things that were not preventing them, and when they said something, they stood on it. But
right.
Nowadays, it really seems like, you know, we can't live without the white man. That's the, you know, we adopt their religions, and we want to be so much like them. Like Malcolm said, you know, why do we want to ride on their bus? We can have our own bus. We got to have that.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Let me say this to you.
Go ahead.
Because I guess to elaborate on that too, but I'm just going to leave you with something real short. Because I feel where you're coming from, man, it's a lot of times I get discouraged when I look at the state that we are in now, and I look back at all the leaders and all the teachings that has been laid down for us in the past. So I can't lie to you, but I get discouraged too. But with that being said, we have good people that is here now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we can't give up. We still have to push forward as best we can, brother.
I'm 100% in agreement with you. You know, I think that if we didn't have the illusion here in America, we could be more like they are in Africa, because they're, despite the imperialism with the Christianity and the Islam and everything, they're seeking their liberation. And I think until we're driving to a point, because see, here, you know, we don't want to die for nothing. And I mean, sad to say, the black man in America has it better than anybody in the world. You know, I mean, and even going to prison, it's like a hotel stay for most Negroes. You know, you get three hots in the cot, you can pray to white Jesus, you get visitation. You know, you go to the library, so they love it. The black man in America loves prison. But, you know, if you were in an area like Libya where your whole village is being wiped out and bombed, I think that would do something different to you. That would make you see.
Please.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let's
go
say,
ahead.
Yes,
let's
sir. Go ahead, Keith. Brother Keith.
Yes, sir. I do agree. However, I want to say this to him is that this is we have been there when they bombed them in the liberation, the Black Liberation Army in Philadelphia, when they bombed Tulsa, Oklahoma, when they assassinate us, the thing is what he said, we're scared to die. We're scared to kill for something. We're scared to die for something. And a lot of us died. But what did we die for? But what do we die for? Because it's still the same thing going on. What would happen if we decide to man up in an army and say, you know what, we're taking this, we're going to do that? I don't think it's, I mean, it's, let me be real. It's not our fault. It's not our fault, first of all. And mm-hmm. and because we've been programmed to do what we do, love our
right.
oppressor and hate
right.
each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's a fact. That's a fact. But if we have to We have to deprogram ourselves, man. We have to be deprogrammed. You're talking about 456 or 52 years of programming. Everywhere from my children being at home, watching TV, watching sports. I just want to be a basketball player. I just want to be a football player. I don't want to arm myself, go up there and say, yo, I'm tired of this. I'm sick of this. I'm not learning these white men's laws and learning ways how to destroy their laws or get rid of their laws. And it goes back again, once again, man, to the white man doing what he do. When he get tired of something, he going to get his – okay, Nevada. When they try to take that land in Nevada, what did the white man do? They armed themselves and told the government they're not taking that land. When are we going to do that? Why are we so scared?
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this real quick, brother. How do we in America form an alliance with the African country to build a military? Because without a military, we're doomed. We have no military.
Brother,
and to me, outside of organization, well, that's part of organizing, but we have to have a military because that's the only way that we can protect
Brother, we have to network. We have to network. We have to network horizontally. We have to network. We got to reach to the people next to us. We got to reach to them. But see, like I say, it's laws of the land that even before we would get that done, they will put us in camps and holes somewhere. But we got to network. We left the blueprint. We follow the blueprint like Harriet Tubman. We don't even have an underground system to deal with stuff like that. We don't have an underground system. So we're talking about dismantling a white supremacy will. We need an underground system to move our people around to deal with this enemy. We don't have that, brother. Africa has that. That's why they're able to organize 10,000, mobilize 10,000 so fast. We don't have that. And you talked about the budget, all this money that's at goddamn odds. Man, if I got 750,000, you got land, I want to buy a school, I want to do this. Man, brother, they got towns and cities that's for sale that you can buy and build your own. You can start your own community. George Jackson said it best. We got to colonize. We're not doing none of that. We're not following none of the old blueprint. We're doing what we want to do instead of saying what the ancestors wanted us to do. We're not listening. We're not networking. We're not studying. We're not reading. We just read a book and say, this is what I want to do instead of saying what we need to do. There's no we in this no more. There's no we in this no more. You know what I'm saying? The brother is right. He's right 100%. But, brother, until we network, until we come up with a system that, listen, if I go this, if I raise war against the white man in America, will I be safe? What can you get me here? Can you do this? Can we build? We have an army. We have an army.
I think the strongest key to liberation here in America would be through the church. And that's why when you look at history, that's why they created the 501c3, because the church was radical back in the 60s, and they gave them, you know, all this money to keep them from organizing and rising against the government. But I think black America is under the mind control of the God that we've been introduced via slavery, whether it be Islam, whether it be Christianity, Hebrew, whatever it is. But when you look at these groups, you know, all the money that goes out, and, you know, even when we have issues where, you know, Trayvon Martin's killed or whoever it may be, the first thing these political leaders do is they go to the church. They find out what church you go to, talk to the pastor, give them the hush up. And I think if our pastors and imams were telling us that it's time to rise up, that's the only way that we here in America will begin to liberate ourselves.
But also, brother, you got to be careful of the church. Because the church is in their pockets, too. Some of these brothers, these pastors and some of these imams don't want to lose that money.
I'm already going, because the whole goal of church is to get you out of white supremacy. That's why there's no separation of church and state. That's why when you go to church, you wear a uniform because you're part of the corporation.
Church has turned into a political tool at this point, especially for black people.
Even the conscious community has now taken over the black church, because I gave up Jesus. Now I'm into this consciousness, but when you go to these events, it's not really teaching us how to carry on the things that Dr. Khalid and Malcolm X was teaching us. It's more of a marketing thing, like, hey, come buy these T-shirts and get this butter soap and, you know, all this other stuff. So,
right,
you know,
this is
I
true.
Don't know, man. We have a lot of work to do. I'm never giving up on my people, and every day of my life, I just feel the spirit of our ancestors in me, feeling like we have failed ourselves. And, you know, we're going to have to be at a point where we're willing to give our life what we believe in.
Right. Bottom line. Thank you, caller, for the call.
All right.
We want to see peace. Thank you. Appreciate the call. You made some excellent points, my brother. Excellent points. We want to give the opportunity for some more callers to get in. If you're just joining us, we have Brother Keith Muhammad on the line. We just building on a lot of different topics that, you know, in regards to black people, black liberation, black power, you know. So do we have any callers right to start?
Okay, let's take area code 314-482. Caller, you have a question or a comment? Caller, you have a question or a comment? Area code 314-482. Okay.
All right. Yeah, again, if you're just joining us, we're here with Brother Keith Muhammad from the New Black Panther Party. I did have a question for you because actually the caller brought us some good points, the last caller. And he was talking about how, you know, the last Black Panther Party fell basically to COINTELPRO. And we do know that recently the FBI released a thing with the black identity extremists and things of that nature. So it sounds like COINTELPRO 2.0. So I want to know, how are you brothers' organization guarding yourself against potential agents, you know, people that look like us infiltrating the group and trying to be an agent provocateur, so to speak? Like, how do you guard yourself against what we know is coming? Anytime we organize and try to liberate our people, we know the enemy is going to come, you know, with somebody as an agent.
Now, also remember that do you all on the public line here?
Say it again.
No, I said I'm just throwing it out there. I talk radio, so, you know, just watch
all the ads. It's like this, bro. It's like this, man. You know, the enemy gonna always know what they know. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing too high from the enemy if you're not talking about doing terrorist acts, real terrorist acts, or trying to do kill in mass numbers. That's not what we're doing. The crime against the New Black Panther Party or the old Black Panther Party or any freedom fighter is liberation. We being charged for liberation. And if liberation is a terrorist act, then lock all of us up. We going to die for that. We going to fight for that. You know what I'm saying? So how do we keep that? There's no way how to keep it. They're going to always tap into the phones. They're going to always have agent provocateurs come in and listen. We're not talking about anything outlandish or crazy. We're not the Taliban. We're not Osama bin Laden's group name, Al-Qaeda. We are liberators, and that is our only crime and crime only. And then, like I say, they're trying to say that liberation, liberating the mind of our people, liberating the hearts and minds of our people is a terrorist act. Well, they're going to continue to do what they're doing, trying to stop the rise of the black man and the black woman in America. You can't stop that, brother. That's been going on for a long time. And the only way you'll be able to stop that is if we get our own. That will be the only way. We control the media, the politics, and everything around us that will cause them to infiltrate us. Then that's what it be. Until then, we will always get infiltrated. Until we free ourselves from the clutches of this white enemy.
Indeed, yes, sir.
Now, I thought this out there because the one reason why I said that is because me myself, I'm big on. Like we was talking about networking. And some networking has to be done in private, you know, hand to hand.
That's right.
That's just how I look at it. So that was just me throwing. So
The social media is a gift and a curse, but it gives too much. We have to go back to grassroots, door to door, face to face. You know what I'm saying? That's another way to keep that down too. You know what I'm saying? We got to go back grassroots, man. I come knock on your door. We meet up somewhere. We visit. We see each other. We talk to each other. You know what I'm saying? Instead of I'm on social media, I'm going to text message you. I'm going to inbox you. I'm going to post this and post that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But as long as they know who you are, we're revolutionaries. We're revolutionaries. We're liberators. We're freedom fighters fighting to change something. So the open enemy will know. He will know. But we're not talking about bombing somebody. A question was asked to me a long time ago from an interview from a journalist that was quoting something from the Southern Law Poverty Center. And like I told him, we have not ever lynched nobody, hung nobody, killed nobody, kidnapped nobody, none of that other type of mess. You know what I'm saying? So we have nothing to hide. As long as we're preaching liberation, we have nothing too high. They can take that. They can mark it up. They can write it up. We only teach liberation and awareness to raise our people up and build a black nation.
Fact. That was well.
See, our black power, when we say black power, it has nothing to do with racism or prejudice or bias. It's a state of mind. We want economic power. We want social power. We want educational power. We want corporate power. Mm-hmm. We want all of that for our people. We don't have that. And we got to get that. But we can't get it by always asking the white man to help us. We got to get it ourselves, man. Ourselves.
Right.
We got to buy land. We got to buy property. We got to grow our food. We got to farm. We got to do all type of stuff. We need to. But like I said, the importance is we have to have an army also to defend our land, to defend our economic power. We need all of that, man. And we got to work on that. And people, and this is what the 10,000 Black Men's Movement is all about, which our attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz is traveling the country and the world doing, is trying to show people this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. And if we cannot come together collectively, it goes by an old saying in the book, The Destruction of Black Civilization, by William Chancellor. A man asked him, what happened to the people of Sumer? He said they died because they did not know their history. We will die out. We will die out if we do not know who we are or where we came from and what we can do. We can do a lot, brother. We can build the pyramids. We created, man, let's just keep it real. We created, we are the start of civilization. From water, from irrigational ditches, to building homes, to medicine. We're becoming dependent. Like the brother said, when we were segregated, we were powerful. As soon as we wanted to be integrated, we became weak. We got to separate. We have to separate, brother. That's the main point. We have to separate and colonize our own cities, towns, because everybody can't lead a country. Everybody not able to lead a country. We built this country. We built this. America was one time before the breaking of the continents up. Pangea. We were once part of Africa. We were once part of Africa. Why do we have to leave America? Why can't we send ambassadors out of America?
Brother Keith, I want you to touch on this because something said a little while ago too about speaking on black power. To me it seemed like society tried to make us black people be ashamed of being pro black and loving wanting black power. I don't see it's nothing wrong with a people wanting their own. No, but society almost want to make us be ashamed of being proud to be black. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Malcolm X said it best. Who told you to hate yourself? Why you hate your black nose and your black hair and your black skin? Why you hate who you are and where you come from? What's so ashamed? Because the education in America said that we were just slaves when we came here. They didn't tell our young or us that we were kings and gods and goddesses. They didn't tell us that we were visionaries and philosophers and doctors and lawyers and builders and architects. They didn't tell us that. They didn't tell us none of that. So we come here and say, I don't want to be black no more. Black is ugly. Black is beautiful. But, man, when you was in a triple darkness, life come from black. You know what I'm saying? Right. Life came from darkness, a triple darkness. How can you be embarrassed of that? Embarrassed of your beautiful skin, your melanated skin. How can you be embarrassed of that? Your beautiful brown nose, your beautiful brown, your black hair, or your brown hair, or your red hair. How can you be afraid of that? You're connected to the universe. You shouldn't be afraid of that. Instead of want to be like a caveman, come to cave on all four. You uprooted them. We put the boards in their backs and walked them out of caves of Europe. We did that. We civilized them. They didn't civilize us. God damn it, they need to stop it. Every time, look at them right now in the caves, in the pyramids of Egypt, trying to make the people lighter, trying to make it look lighter, saying Cleopatra was white. God damn it, the climate is hot. The climate is heated. White people can't stand the heat and the climate. They don't have melanin. They don't have that. So when they show these surveys of a young black girl calling a black doll evil, where they come from? TV? When they show you a light skinned sister, I'll prefer that. That's better instead of showing a dark skinned sister. What's going on? We're accepting the white woman saying, oh, this is just payback to the white man. Ain't no goddamn payback. There ain't no payback to him because he don't give a damn about his white woman. Ain't no payback. Ain't no payback. He'll sell his woman short for you. He'll sell his woman just to get what he want. Ain't no payback. Goddamn Crocker, Dr. Khalid Muhammad said it. If you find a good white man, kill him before he go bad. We don't need that in our lives no more, man. It ain't about being. Like I said, once again, I'm not prejudiced. I'm not biased. I'm just real. And the white man know I'm talking real. He know it's real. Man. She know it's real. Man. God damn, why you afraid to be black?
That's why they couldn't say nothing to Elijah when he called him out on the white man being the devil. They can't, man.
Once you point the truth out, they're going to sit. Listen to me. Let me tell you this. When you did, that's why Elijah said, don't compromise. Well, they will do anything and everything they can to stop you. They will put any type of thought in your head to stop you. That's why a white woman walked up to Malcolm and said, how can I help you? He says, you can't. You can't solve our problems. You can't help us deal with our problems. Just like when these white organizations come to our black communities with their organization. Yo, you take your organization, go to your community, and let's see what you can do there. You can't do nothing with it. You only come here to take notes and data of what we're doing and how we're moving. You will not no longer do that shit. We can send all those. Listen to me. We send all of that type of mess out of our communities. We send all type of stuff that people that do not have the knowledge, and they don't have the knowledge of us. They don't know nothing about oppression. They don't know nothing about slavery. They don't know nothing about not having nothing. Well, my father, little father, that's bullshit. You just decided to go be with a black man and disown your ass. That's what happened. Because at the end of the day, we will not be free until we separate from this cracker. We gotta separate from him. We gotta all get knowledge of self. We gotta all become aware, and then we can talk about being free. That's what we gotta do. If we don't do that, we gotta be one more thing we gotta do. We gotta get rid of this white concept of God. I love him. He beat me. We got to start understanding the context with the text or the text with the context. We got to understand all this stuff, man, to be free from the clutches of religion and politics, man. This is what's killing us. And we're not doing it. And when people come close to waking us up, they take them from us. Man, the next time, goddammit, they take one of our leaders, we got to take five of theirs. That's just how it got to go down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I challenge everybody who, if you, like the brother was saying about them coming into our communities and wanting to build with us, all I would say, hey, go out into the white communities, right? And just ask a random white person, start asking questions like, hey, what y'all got going on out here to help black people, to help liberate black people? You won't find nothing. They don't do nothing in their community to try to help us. They worried about themselves. They always, when we got something jumping off, we trying to fight for our liberation, here they come. We want to hold your hand. We want to get in. We want to see what's going on. Just like the brother said, they're just trying to infiltrate and get information and tear it down. Because if you go into their communities, they're not doing nothing to help us. They're not doing nothing. They ain't got meetings and programs going on to help black people. They worried about themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a fact. That's a fact, man. We got to get better, man. And every time I like to always tell people on the show or any platform that any conscious black man has that's real, and not just breaking the pockets of the people, is that, hey, check it out. Man, get involved in your community. Stand up. Do something. Do something that can give progress, show progress, man. Like you know, we have the St. Louis chapter, you know, that's been reconstructed. There's a political chapter in St. Louis headed by Brother Melvin Campbell, the chairman out there. They have a community breakfast they do down in St. Louis, the Wall Community Center, man. Every month they have they go out and find people that's been lost or kidnapped. They've been successful. You know what I'm saying? They patrol the community, and the whole thing now is to spread out to Berkeley, St. Louis County, all around them areas, East St. Louis. East St. Louis has an up-and-coming chapter that's building so you can unify St. Louis, East St. Louis, Centerville, Berkeley, Jennings. We are on a mass recruit because, man, we are tired. We are tired of them mistreating us and dogging us. We are tired of that, man. And so we no longer can stand for that. You know what I'm saying? The only way that we can be successful, and I tell all black people this, the only way we can be successful, either you suit up, boot up, support, or shut up. That's the only way. That's the only way. Suit up, boot up, or shut up. Don't worry about what the white men will do to you. We got things in place to help you if things go wrong. We got things in place for you. We made mistakes, man, and we learned from our mistakes. And we to better that, man. We don't want to continue to fall apart or fall down or break down because we lost a leader. The next leader you take, we're going to take 5 of yours. The next thing you do, we're going to come after you. That's just what it is, man. And people will not boldly say it, but the white man boldly said every time we show Dr. King this I Have a Dream speech. God damn it, he didn't have a dream. He said it was like walking his people to a burning building. He became a revolutionary, and they killed him when they saw him becoming a revolutionary. He was tired of it, man. He was tired of it. So now we got to be tired of it all the way. They took our black messiahs away from us. They took them. All we have is redeemers to remind us. We need to step into the plate and back them up. We back down. We going to Washington, D.C. for the 10,000 black men's movement, and how many black men? It should be more than 10,000 showing up. We got to make a statement, man, like this shit stops. You know what I'm saying? But we got to deal with also the brothers that's doing the oppressing, too. We got to deal with them, too. Right. We can't be afraid of these young brothers out here, man. We got to sit their butts down and deal with them. We got to deal with these talks that can't be held on radio, but talks that need to be held in conferences, in private rooms, man, of what we need to do, of what we need to do and how we need to do it. We no longer be afraid.
Hey, Brother Ken, let me ask you one more question. I'm going to step back and, let you finish off. But I wanted to ask the brother this.
Yeah.
People, since we based out of St. Louis here at Collective Mind, can you let the people know that's listening, if they interested in joining the new Black Panther Party, who should they reach out to? Who should they call with questions? Go ahead.
Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. You can notify me, and I'll connect you. I can do your application, because we do an application process to find out who you are and your background. You notify me at 1-618-203-0008. That's 1-618-203-0008. Or you can notify or email me at now is the time 1977 @gmail.com. Now is the time, 1977@gmail.com. And you give me your information, your name, your number, and you tell me you want to join or support, and I will call you back immediately. Man, we all accept it.
You take brothers and sisters, and you for
brothers
and sisters.
Sisters, elders, children. We have a cub program that we liberate our children. That we have liberation class for our children to prepare them to become full Panthers. We got all that type of stuff going on, man. We ain't start coming nowhere. We're trying to build a nation. We're trying to build a nation. That's what it's all about. So the next time they have a Ferguson, instead of seeing 4, 5, or 10 Panthers or 100 people from community, you can see 200, 300 brothers and sisters dressed in black berets and boots. That'll shut their ass down. They're like, we don't want that problem. See, it's how we move, man. We're not united. We're not united mentally. We're not united spiritually. We're not united collectively. We're not together. But if we can unite with the energy of our ancestors, we'll be successful. We'll be so successful that they would say this was something divine that happened. It was something divine that happened. We're a divine people. We come from a divine bloodline. Ain't nothing about us messed up. Look at our black woman that can produce every color of the human race. Look at who we are. And we cut ourselves short. Man, we need to stop that and help rebuild our community, our black women, our children. We need to come together. We need to start in somebody's house, in the basement of a church, in an open park, and wake our people up. I always tell people, if that's what you want, I will come to your community and plant that seed. We will start in your community. We will start in your house. We are putting together a program now in Springfield where we work with the whole family. This is what we have to do, man. We have to clear our heads from all that bull crap of what they told us and what we learned in school. You know what I'm saying? Of false stuff that always going back to me, like I say about Dr. King. Dr. King, that dream was nothing. That's a lie. That's a whole lie. You know what I'm saying? We gotta re-educate them on that. You know what I'm saying? We gotta do a lot of re-educate at a mass level. Libraries, like I say, libraries, parks, basement churches, your home, front lawn, going to the corner of the street, a barbecue, invite them. You know, black folks like to eat barbecue, some barbecue, and bring them over to talk to them, so we can teach them even how to eat right. You know what I'm saying? Listen, brother, I know I'm brought you some barbecue here, but on the table I got some fruit, a bowls of fruits, and some smoothies, some fruit smoothies. We got to get off this medication. Everything this white man has done is to cut off our lifelines, from pharmaceutical medicine to soda pops, and I'm guilty of the soda pops, you know what I'm saying, to everything else that has messed us up, to taking a black woman and a black man, making them work all day, wear BET or rap music, raise our child up to be so-called gangsters and killers, where it's a revolving door for the white man to make his pocket bigger. We got to stop all this. We got to go at these rappers that do all this. We got to step to these rappers that's talking about killing each other and gang violence. We got to stop all of this mess, man. The black man needs to wake up and be a father to the community instead of just being a father to his home. We got to step to this shit, man. And if we don't, they're going to kill our children, they're going to kill our women, and they're going to kill our ass last. That's what they're going to do. They're going to kill us first and leave our women to look at it. Say, look, this is what happens when you don't follow me. And our women are rising up. We have more conscious women, more war-ready women than I've ever seen in my life and living that's ready. They're more ready than we are. We scared, man. We are scared, brother. We are scared, man, and we got to quit being afraid. Stop being afraid. My national chairman said this as a tribute to Dr. Khalid Muhammad. He said, I'm tired of people telling me they love me. I'm tired of people telling me to die for me. He said, God damn it, tell me you'll kill with me. That makes a lot of sense to me, man. If we all go out there and I die for you, ain't nobody else left to fight. We don't have to be offensive. And sometimes you don't have a physical fight. That's what it leads to. It can be a strategic fight. We can't beat the white man with the resources that he has. He has a lot of resources. We have to know what he knows. Farrakhan said it best. Know what the white man knows. You got to beat him in his own game. That's why I'm tired of hearing kids saying I want to be a basketball player or a football player. God damn it. Go be a judge. Go be a lawyer. You know what I'm saying? Go be an economist. Go be a botanist.
Right.
Go be a scientist. Go, let's
right.
so we can leave, so we can build and stop this dude. Let's go learn how to pull energy so we can get off their grid. We can get off their goddamn grid.
Indeed. Let me hop in real quick, bro. Yes, sir. Let me hop in real quick, Brother Mahan. We got 10 minutes left to the live stream. We're chopping it up here with Brother Keith Muhammad. He's going in. I did want to ask you something, too, because everything you touched on was right and exact. And, you know, I think the first line of defense for their particular system in our community is the police. You dig what I'm saying? I call them race soldiers acting as police because it seems like, you know, they're occupying our communities. They have no respect for us. They have no respect for our lives when it comes to, quote-unquote, enforcing the law. So I want to know, how do you personally deal with police, and what is the code, you know, as far as, you know, the Black Panther code, as far as when we engage with these police in our communities, how do you think we should go about dealing with them?
Yes, sir. I say this much, man, and in my opinion, we're not around to break the law, okay? We don't believe in breaking the law. You know what I'm saying? You know, we have things to where they pull you over, you know, hey, you got your ID, you got your registration. You want to prevent them because you're already a threat. And they pull you
right.
over, license registration. Yes, I have that. If you comply with that and you're legit, you have no reason to worry about it. But if they become disrespectful, out of pocket, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to get on your guard with him. See, it's hard
right.
with dealing with this devil because that whole thing now is to kill and ask questions later or shoot and ask
right.
questions later. You know what I'm saying? So my
right.
thing is to, if you're getting pulled over, get your camera ready, get something ready. You know what I'm saying? Obey, comply, get him license and insurance. Anything after that, man, you know, hey, and that's my opinion, man. You know, hey, I've been in a position where I was pulled over by five cops. And me and a couple of pimps, we had in St. Louis and Springfield, and we got pulled over. And we put our hands on that, and we complied with him. But then when he got out of line and told me, well, we need to get a car to search the car, for what? Now he's the question, sir, why do I need to get out the car for you to search me? Now you ask the questions. Are you not going to comply? That's like asking a question with a question. So you can do something to me. No, you know, sir, you can search the car. But when we got out the car, we got ready out of on a defense mode. If you touch one of us or disrespect one of us, either all of us going to die or something going to happen because you're not going to disrespect us. We will comply because we know we should
right.
comply because we're not guilty in no way or form. But don't give these pigs no reason to lock you up, to shoot you, or to hurt you, man, because that's what
right.
they're bloodthirsty. They're bloodthirsty, brother. So we don't want to give them no reason to hurt you because this is what they're doing. This is it's like a purge, an open purge, an open kill season. We don't want them to do
right.
it. So comply until they disrespect you. Until they disrespect you. And if people around, you know what I'm saying, and you got real soldiers around, then y'all get involved in that, man. If you see something happening, you see the police violating somebody, get involved in that, man. Don't let them just sit there and beat nobody down. Don't let them sit there and disrespect and throw your sister to the ground. Get involved. Get involved. And that's how I feel. Don't videotape
right.
a cop just beating the hell out of somebody. Get involved in that. Man, I'm not going to say this on the radio, but listen, get involved, man. Don't let them disrespect you. If you got license, registration, and your car and insurance, your car is legit, they shouldn't ask no other type of question. Be calm and be cool. Even when he may have had a bad day, be yes, sir, no, sir, go about your business. Well, they all there and keep
right.
up. And you ask them, why are you out? What's the problem? Like, okay, here we go. But the question is, I'm talking Brother Kevin, right? The question is how do I know we don't know when they're going to try to attack us or kill us. That's the big question. We're not going to know when they shoot. The only thing I say is comply. If you don't comply, they're going to disrespect you. You know what I'm saying? If you don't comply, they're going to disrespect you. So abide by the laws until the laws disrespect you. That's what I can say.
Indeed. Indeed. I appreciate that. And that's right and exactly. That's what I say. I say because the simple fact that we are behind enemy lines and we are technically, you know, still prisoners of war, then we should just comply whenever they roll up. But like you said, if they get disrespectful and start violating, then we do have a right to defend and protect ourselves, you know.
That's right.
But, yeah, that's right and exact, Brother Keith Muhammad.
Dr. Collins did a lecture on that as well. Y'all can look that up. Dr. Collins did a whole lecture about that.
Yes, sir.
Indeed, indeed. All right, yeah, we've been chopping it up with Brother Keith Muhammad from the new Black Panther Party. We do got about 5 minutes left to the live stream, so I want to give you the last words, brother. Again, thank you for joining us and spending some time with us this evening. I think we had a great build. You laid down a lot, you know, threw out some solutions as well. So anything you want to let us know before you go, how can we find you? Are you on social media? You know, give all that information before we get up out of here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. First of all, let me say I appreciate you all for inviting me on your show. Hopefully I come back in the near future and we work together. Right now, the present, remember, April 18th through the 22nd, the 10,000 Black Men's Movement march is going down in Washington, D.C. If you can't come there, you can support it by going to www.blackmenswithas.org, and support it. If you watch it, go to CNN, C-SPAN, Reuters. They all going to show it. Support our Black Power Radio every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific. Our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga's show. And come on Wednesday nights on my Facebook Live. You can go to Keith Muhammad, and my name says Ogun Shakur. And support the Realest Black show. It comes on every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we have an event May 19th in East St. Louis at the 618 Studios, The Relevance of Black Ingenuity. Support us. Support the new. And if you want to join the new Black Panther Party from Self-Defense, you can call me, Brother Keith Muhammad, at 618-203-0008. Or you can email me at nowisthetime1977@gmail.com. And remember, Black Power is being in a state of mind. Black Power is beautiful. Being Black is beautiful. And we are relevant because we are the originators and the melanated race. Black Power and all power to the melanated people. And once again, I thank you all for inviting me on your show.
Hey, Brother Kev, I got to sign us out with the Black Power song, brother. Come on, Fitz. I'm ready to play a pigeon, brother. I'm itching.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Go ahead. We appreciate it. Thanks to the brother, Keith Muhammad. We appreciate it. Peace, peace.
Peace.
Check us out next Sunday, y'all. We'll do this again.
Y'all be throwing that fist on the
radio.
Right?
Sunday, 6 o'clock.
Money with my own kind. All black power. Buying land that I can call mine. All black power. Educated, innovative mind. All black power. Unity and self-defense combined. All black power. Black power. Black power. Black power. Educated, innovative mind. All black power. Black power. Black power. Unity and self-defense combined. I just put a black extension on my AR. If my blackness is offensive, I don't say sorry. When it's time to handle business, gotta play your part. If you're not black, I'ma play the race card. No, he didn't, yo, I just play the race card. I'm enlightened, so that's why I feel safe and dark. I'm a warrior, probably got like 8 scars. Revolutionaries can't be scared to wage wars. For the people who oppressed in this cold world, Africans are connected around the whole world. Speaking of Africa, we should treat it like a planet. Total independence, it's gonna take strategic planning. Black power, spending money with my own kind. Black power, buying land that I can call mine. Black power, educated, innovative mind. Black power,
stay away from pigs like a muscler. Two clips taped together, that's a hood drum. In every hood, I think we should control the politics. By any means, putting pressure on these lobbyists. I put my race first, yeah, I know it's obvious. I see better days, guess I'm just an optimist. I'm trying to wake our people up.